I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
A certain mother once approached Napoleon, seeking a pardon for her son. The emperor replied that the young man had committed a certain offense, not just once, but twice, and justice demanded death. "But I don't ask for justice," the mother explained. "I plead for mercy." "But your son does not deserve mercy," Napoleon replied. "Sir," the woman cried, "it would not be mercy if he deserved it, and mercy is all I ask for." "Well then," the emperor said, "I will have mercy." And he spared the woman's son. You know, friend, I'm so glad for the mercy of God, and I'm so glad that we don't have to plead for it. All we need to do is reach out and accept it. And I'm glad too, my friend, that you've joined me for today's edition of The Voice of Hope. Our Bible study today is titled, A Look at God's Justice. Right now, here's the quartet with a good song to introduce our subject.
Great High Priest, we view thee stooping with our names upon thy breast. In the garden groaning, drooping to the ground with horrors pressed, holy angels stood confounded to behold their Maker thus. And can we remain unmoved when we know 'twas all for us? On the cross thy body broken, cancels every penalty. Tempted souls produce this token, all demands to satisfy. All is finished, do not doubt it, but believe your dying Lord. Never reason more about it, only trust his sacred word. Lord, we fain would trust thee solely, 'twas for us thy blood was spilt. Bruised bridegroom, take us holy, take and make us what thou wilt. Thou hast borne the bitter sentence, passed on man's accursed race. True belief and true repentance are thy gifts, thou God of grace. Amen.
Thank you, men, for reminding us of that wonderful truth. It is only because of God's mercy that you and I are able to fellowship together right now. If it weren't for God's mercy, there would be no message of hope to proclaim. We would all be under the judgment of God with no hope of escape. But praise his name, there is a way of escape. Jesus went to the cross with the judgment of our sins upon him. And all those who by faith accept his sacrifice on their behalf receive mercy and are set free from the penalty of their sin. What peace that brings to our hearts and minds as we yield control of our lives to the Lord Jesus. He becomes a friend that leads us through life.
All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, o'er the fullness of His love.
Perfect
rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When I wake to life immortal, wing my flight to realms of day,
this
my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.
Merciful Heavenly Father, we bow in Your presence. Apart from Your mercy, we are under the sentence of death because of our sin. Thank You for making a way for us to escape the penalty of death through the sacrifice of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to You in His precious name and through the merits of His shed blood on the cross of Calvary. And now, as Dr. Yoder opens the Word to us, may Your Holy Spirit open our hearts and minds to receive the truth. We're confident You will supply our need according to Your promises, and because we're asking in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Several attributes of God are often overlooked. These are some of His significant attributes. For example, His eternality. God has existed forever. Admittedly, this is a concept that our human minds are unable to comprehend. But the Scripture teaches us that God is forever. Second is His immutability. That is, He never changes. He never needs to change His mind. He is always the same. Third is His holiness. This attribute is basic to His entire operation. God, the Scripture teaches us, is absolutely holy. And fourth is His justice. This attribute is often overlooked and frequently misunderstood. It is under-evaluated. God, the Eternal One, the Immutable One, the All-Holy One, is absolutely just. No one will ever be able to accuse God of being guilty of favoritism. He is absolutely just. Fifth is His omniscience, His ability to know everything. Again, the concept escapes our human understanding because we are so limited in our understanding of situations, either of the past or of the future. But God knows everything all the time. His justice and His holiness are the basic foundations for His mercy. This we must always remember. Because God is holy, he cannot permit sin. He cannot countenance sin. He cannot look on sin favorably. He must judge it. He must bring judgment upon those who indulge in sin. Consequently, since all have sinned, we are all before God subject to his justice. We are guilty before God. Now that means that only with the acknowledgement of guilt can we expect to find the mercy and forgiveness of God. Mercy is based on divine justice. Forgiveness is based on the acknowledgement of guilt. Now I want to bring you to Peter's second epistle and the second chapter for a look at God's justice. Be sure to have your Bible open and follow me as I read 2 Peter 2, verses 4 through 10. That's 2 Peter 2, verses 4 through 10. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample of those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Now, my friend, I think in these verses Peter gives us several outstanding examples of justice, God's justice, so that we will order our lives more carefully. The first example he uses is the judgment of angels. This may surprise us a bit, but Peter tells us that angels sinned. This would instruct us that angels are capable of sinning, and it also implies that there was a time for these angels when they had not sinned, but they sinned, and then God exercised a judgment against them. Ezekiel 28 carries for us a very interesting insight into what this may mean and how we can understand it better. I hope you can turn in your Bible to Ezekiel 28, and I shall begin reading at verse 11 and read to the end of verse 15. Follow in your Bible, or at least pay close attention as I read these verses from the prophecy of Ezekiel. That's Ezekiel 28, beginning at verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation against the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. I want you to notice, my friend, that here is a picture of someone who had a particular relationship with God, a high order of being. He was in the garden with God. He was on the holy mountain of God. And please observe verse 15. Let me read it again. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. That means that angels are created beings and they have the possibility, apparently, of sinning. And this one sinned. We may turn further to the book of Revelation and the 12th chapter to see another scene in which this time the devil himself is pictured and explained. I hope you also have your Bible open here. Turn back to the book of Revelation, chapter 12 and verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. You see, Peter referred to the angels that sinned. There is no need for us to speculate on when this may have happened, but the reality is clear. Sin in the angelic world has been punished by God's justice. You notice they are delivered into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Whatever chains angels need, God has employed to reserve them unto the day of judgment. The second example, then, is the judgment of the old world. The old world is referred to in verse 5 as a world of Noah's day. The account of this judgment is found in the book of Genesis, chapter 6. My good friend Dr. Henry M. Morris has suggested that the world population in the days of Noah may well have reached 7 billion people. I said 7 billion people. It is quite obvious from the book of Genesis, chapter 6, that the flood was intended to cover the whole earth in order to destroy everything that God said had the breath of life. So it must be clear that wherever man had gone, the flood was to reach, so that all earth was destroyed. Genesis 6:13 reads like this: And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. We must therefore conclude that the whole earth was populated, and that God destroyed the old world, the world of Noah, by a worldwide flood. Then Genesis 6:11 reads, The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. I am attempting to point out to you, dear friend, that the earth was totally populated at the time of the flood. Genesis 6 obviously teaches us that the whole world was involved. My dear friend, I must remind you that the God of the universe is a just God. The third example that Peter uses is the judgment of the wicked cities. Here, the record is given in the 18th and 19th chapters of the book of Genesis. Most Bible readers are quite well acquainted with these texts that deal with the outstanding exercise of divine justice. Abraham was visited by the Lord Almighty when God was about ready to destroy the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham pled with God, if he could find 50 righteous, he would certainly not treat the righteous like the wicked and destroy them with the wicked in the city. He kept on coming down from 40 to 30 to 20 and finally to 10, supposing there should be 10 found. And the Lord said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. But there were not found 10 to be righteous. And so God needed to destroy the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Their wickedness was somewhat different, though related to the wickedness of the old world. The wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah, however, was particularly in the social area. Most likely they had material possessions and prosperity, because Lot sat in the gate as a leader in the city. But the real problem, the real wickedness of these cities, lay in the social area. They had so debauched themselves that they found public sentiment rising to a fever pitch to do what was most unseemly. A total destruction reduced these cities to ashes, and they were obliterated for a number of years, and no one knew where these cities might have been. Archaeologists now have attempted to identify them on the east bank of the Dead Sea. Only Lot and his two daughters were rescued from that terrible destruction. And finally, the fourth example Peter used was the judgment of the ungodly. Here, it is a broadening out in his concepts and his statements. He says that God knows how to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. All of us are under the just judgment of God. Some of us have taken care of that sentence of death by coming to Jesus Christ now and pleading his blood for our forgiveness. As I said a moment ago, the mercy of God is the basis for our forgiveness, and his justice is the basis for our guilt. We stand before God justly condemned by the Almighty. The only way that we can find forgiveness and escape the judgment of God is by receiving his provision. That provision is in Jesus Christ. And God reserves the ungodly, the unjust, unto the day of judgment to be punished. We should notice that God will indeed settle the accounts with these persons. Notice how they are described in verse 10. They live after the lust of uncleanness. That means sexual immorality. They despise government. They are presumptuous and self-willed and brazen. These persons are sure to be judged. We need to remember that the judgment of God does not go away, nor will it be delayed when the time comes. So I plead with you, my friend, make sure you have taken care of the judgment that rests upon you by seeking God's forgiveness now. We shall therefore understand God is not a doting grandfather whose grandchildren can do no wrong. He does not simply smile at sin. He is angry with the wicked every day, the Scripture teaches us. God is a just God, who because he is holy must render justice upon all sin. By these examples, then, we must be warned by the judgment of the unsubmissive angels, the judgment of the unrestrained old world, the judgment of the uncontrolled wicked cities, the judgment of the unprincipled, ungodly people. The judgment of God never varies because he is immutable. So let us take warning and seek God's mercy now. Let us pray. All-wise, eternal, all-holy, righteous, just God. Oh, we come to thee now, dear Lord, mighty God, and confess that we are before thee in all our need. I thank thee, Lord, that thou hast provided for that need in the sacrifice of thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I pray for my friend right now, wherever that one may be. Seek out that heart and bring it to humility and confession to accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Where will you spend eternity? This question comes to you. Eternity.
My friend, that's a sobering question. Where will you spend eternity? What's your answer? If you're not sure about where you'll spend eternity, or if you know for sure it won't be heaven, I invite you to write to me. I'd be more than happy to help you answer this important question. And to help you gain a better understanding of your need of salvation, we're offering a printed copy of today's message, A Look at God's Justice. You can get your copy by asking for the book titled Sojourners in Faith. This book contains today's message and all Dr. Yoder's exposition from the books of 1 and 2 Peter. I'm confident you'll find it a source of spiritual challenge and blessing. If you'd like a copy of the book, just send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org or write to us at The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. This program is also available to you on an audio CD. We invite you to visit our Facebook page to see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony. And it's also an easy way for you to send a message to us. Now, once again, if you'd like a copy of the book, Sojourners in Faith, just send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org or write to The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. Or you can log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen to this teaching when it's convenient for you. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter or donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number 1-866-960-0292. And when you send your gift, ask for your copy of the book, Sojourners in Faith. We do depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. So let us hear from you today. Thanks for being with me today, friend. I hope you plan to join me again next week for The Voice of Hope. We'll continue our series with a message titled, When Lust Goes Wild. So you plan to join us. And until we meet again,
Lord Jesus, you shall be my song as I journey. I'll tell everybody about you wherever I go. You alone are our life and our peace and our love. Lord Jesus, you shall be my song as I journey. Lord Jesus, I'll praise you as long as I journey.